Well, it's noon here in Ventnor, New Jersey for, and this is what, Tuesday, May 30th. And this is news that you can use. And today I'll get it correct. It's news that you can use from CarEdge with your hosts, Zach and Ray. And, I would ask you how you're doing in Bethesda, but you're right next to me. Damn it. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pops. Oh, I just remembered I forgot to set something up, but we can do it all together here. There's a blank screen. You ready? What do you think's going to pop up? What do you think? What do you think?
A picture of me.
Boom, Dad. Auction repo check-in. What? Didn't you see what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah. Well, no, I know you sent me that article. Yeah.
All right. So here's the deal. Toyota, Wells Fargo. You know what they're doing? Toyota and Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
You know what they're doing?
Yeah. They're paying big.
What they're doing? Huh? Stand by, folks. You know what they're doing?
They're paying incentives. Wait for it. What the hell are you looking for? Why are you running through my apartment? Oh my goodness gracious, ladies and gentlemen.
They're waving.
Oh my God.
The white flag or my dad's pillowcase. They're waving. They're waving the white flag.
I believe you took that pillowcase out of the laundry basket.
I did indeed. All right. Let's jump in to the news that you can use.
I think I kind of liked it better when you were miles away.
All right. So here's the deal.
Yes.
Auction repo check-ins 14% below pandemic levels. All right. So we're currently seeing delinquency rates. We'll touch on delinquency data in a second here. Delinquency rates go up to pre-pandemic levels. However, the number of vehicles that are being repossessed and taken to the auctions is still 14% below where it was pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
That being said, Dad, these two, Wells Fargo and Toyota, we've covered this type of story before. What are they doing? Bear with me, folks. Bear with me.
They're offering incentives, like manufacturers offer the customer incentives to buy something. They're offering repo companies incentives to, prioritize their vehicles over other lenders' vehicles.
So part of the reason why repo rates are not, or the number of vehicles that have been repoed taken back to the auction is not as high as it had been pre-pandemic, is because they've run out of space. That's the primary reason.
And the reason they've run out of space is twofold. One, they're during the pandemic, when there weren't nearly as many repossessions, about 30% of the repo firms in the country went out of business because, if you're not repoing cars, you're not bringing in money. And so they went out of business. So there's 30% less concerns out there, less businesses out there that specialize in repossessing vehicles.
Yep.
And with the loss of those 30%, there was the loss of space, of ground to park these repos on. There was an example in the article about someone in the Philadelphia area who forgot to renew his lease in a timely fashion, where he was paying $7,000 a month for the ground that he was renting, and his good friends, his favorite new company, Amazon, came in and agreed to pay $18,000 a month. So he lost a lot that he had been using. So between the loss of repo companies and the loss of ground to store these cars on, they're not repossessing as many cars as they could or as they should. And some lending institutions like Toyota Finance and Wells Fargo Toyota's paying a $400 premium above and beyond the normal repossession fees that they are willing to pay. And Wells Fargo, probably because they created so many phony accounts, they're paying a $500 premium plus their normal fees to make sure that their vehicles are picked up.
All right, so here we go. Lots of folks in the chat saying, didn't Brandon over at Car Questions Answer do a video on this just yesterday? He showed vehicles, repo vehicles from Wells Fargo. Dad, 100%. We're actually seeing a lot of folks pick up the repo story. Yeah. What's so fascinating is then you literally look in industry publications the next day. So someone's out there, boots on the ground at the dealers, or excuse me, at the auctions.
Yes.
Someone's feeling a little under the weather today. So he's being a trooper, which we appreciate. And then you see articles like this where you hit the nail on the head. Wells Fargo currently pays $500 In addition to the standard cost for repossession services, a spokesperson from Wells Fargo told Auto Finance News, "We regularly review our business practices to find ways to improve service and competitiveness and may make changes over time. The additional $500 is paid by Wells Fargo, not the consumer." Of course not.
Do you really believe that? From the company that created fake fees and fake accounts for their customers, do you really believe for a second that they are not figuring out a way to pass that extra $500 premium that they have to pay to get those cars repossessed onto the customers? If it's me, just based on somebody's history, I don't believe a word that Wells Fargo says. But that's just me. Call me a cynic.
We'll do a different show that's explicitly on Wells Fargo's reputation. The other one, Dad, yes, that's a bit surprising. Due to the lender's incentive, repo agencies are likely to prioritize Wells Fargo assets.
Clement said,
adding that Toyota Financial Services has implemented a $400 incentive and some other lenders are offering $50 to $75.
Okay.
The reason, yes, so this is the important thing. We're going to look at delinquency rates here in just a second.
Yeah.
The reason delinquency rates are going up, but repossession rates are not going up at the same clip, is not because there are not vehicles to be repossessed.
It's because I have no place to put them.
Things are worse than they actually appear.
They feel better knowing that they're in somebody's driveway as opposed to the lot that they no longer own to store them on.
I'm telling you, Dad. I mean, seriously, yes, things are worse than the numbers actually show. And we've got Igor in the chat pretty much preaching that week in and week out. Zach, I told you guys before, and I will say it again and again, that banks and OEM legacy financial institutions like Toyota Financial Services are not reporting true numbers on repos. Repos are much higher than being told. Now, they might, I'm gonna posit that they may be providing the correct repo numbers.
Yes.
The repo numbers are actually not the right thing to look at.
Yes.
Because they are incapable of actually repossessing the vehicles. Super interesting story. The reason that you see Wells Fargo and Toyota paying more could indicate the crisis. You know the other thing that could indicate that?
Yeah.
That they're trying to get ahead of what will be a real repo shortage, the ability to repossess vehicles. And they want to incentivize and get those vehicles back, those assets back, before used car prices fall even more.
Tank.
Yeah, tank.
They're not tanking. But you know, one of the things that was interesting in the article, there's a company that I think they were in Texas, I'm not sure where they get about 375 repo requests a day. Okay. You know, start figuring that out. That's a lot of repo requests.
Wow.
And you know, some companies pay better than others. And just because you get 375 doesn't mean that you can actually collect all 375, because doesn't mean that you can find all 375.
Yeah.
So they, out of the 375 requests they get a day, they accept between 150 and 175 a day.
Wow.
You know, and the success rate is probably not nearly as high as well, they would like. So they could spend an awful lot of time driving around with their tow trucks and whatever, trying to find these vehicles. And, you know, some you find, some you don't.
All right. So we've got a comment here, Dad, from yes, Learning Fast. Why does Toyota want the cars repossessed? I get why banks want it, but not necessarily why the manufacturer wants it.
Well, it's not the manufacturer. It's their lending arm. It's their captive lender. They're a bank. They're like any other bank. Okay. They can't have their vehicles that are past due just continue to be out there.
But hit the nail on it. It's not Toyota that's repossessing. No. It's Toyota Financial Services, which is, the term is used, captive.
Yes.
It's owned by Toyota, but it's a separately operated business.
Yes.
It's a financial institution.
Yes.
That, just like any other financial institution, has assets out there and wants them back.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you want to just believe it's Toyota, why do they even have you sign a contract then?
It's just confusion. You don't have to. You're fine, Learning Fast. A lot of people get confused by that. I think it's just, confusion.
They're two separate entities.
Exactly. It's confusing, yes, though. It's very confusing.
Yes.
Especially if you're not familiar with it.
Okay.
All right. So I want to pull up on the screen, Dad. We looked at this data last week. It ties in delinquency rates. This, yes, comes from S&P Global. These are your top 25 U.S. banks by auto loan volume in Q1 2023.
Yes.
With their total loans outstanding, the change quarter over quarter and year over year, and importantly, the delinquency rate at present.
Yes.
And it's year over year change. Look at Wells Fargo, Dad. Wells Fargo is one of the banks that was referenced in the article that is doing incentives, significant incentives. Yes. Their delinquency rate is actually significantly lower than many of their peers in the industry, 2.53%. Yes. They've got $52 billion in outstanding auto loans. Dad, look at Capital One at the top of the list, 5.67. Their repo rate is higher than whatever is actually reported. Same yes. with Ally at 4.92. Between the two of them, $150 billion in auto loans out there that they hold. And then you've got Santander, which we talked about last week, $44 billion worth of auto loans. And I'm rounding up here, folks. Close to 10% of that portfolio is delinquent. There's simply not enough repo agents out there to collect these vehicles. And if there were, I think we'd be seeing even more downward pressure on used car prices because we'd have even more supply, even though it is starting to build back up.
Absolutely.
So there you go. That is your Repocalypse update of the week. Capital One and Toyota. Those are the two that are leading the way in terms of trying to get out in front of the curve here. Hey,
if you're repossessing cars, are you repossessing the ones that pay you a $50 to $75 incentive, or are you going to repossess the ones that pay you a $400 to $500 incentive? I'm not much of a businessman.
Do you think we're going to see more Toyotas at the auctions then? Because we must, right? Money talks.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. If those are the vehicles that are being picked up. Now don't forget that not every repossession from Toyota Financial Services is a Toyota. I mean, they also finance pre-owned cars for their dealers. But yeah, the vast majority of what they underwrite are Toyotas, just like the vast majority of BMW Financial is BMWs and Minis are Minis.
And to put it into perspective here, so here's the full list of all 25 financial institutions with the most auto loans outstanding. You will not see Toyota Financial Services on this list. You see a captive here, BMW yes. Bank of North America.
Yeah, look how low their
delinquency rate. Wow. Did you just hit on something? Yeah. Because I had another article queued up here. Delinquencies in subprime auto loan-backed securities have second worst April ever. You and I did the story recently about the ABS deals tied to... This right here, gang. That is BMW's delinquency rate. Yes. It is... Okay, which one's this? Northwest Bank shares. I don't know who banks with them. It's one of the lowest ones on this list.
Yes.
And it's because you know who's buying a BMW? Not someone with subprime credit, typically. You know who's getting financed through BMW Financial? Not someone with subprime credit.
That is correct.
That's what this shows, the haves and the have-nots.
Yes. Well, trust me, there are any number of have-nots that drive BMWs that really can't afford them. But it just shows that BMW looks a little more closely at the criteria and the quality of the potential customer than some other lending institutions do.
That was a good insight you picked up on there.
Yeah.
All right. This ties into Dad.
Yes.
I know I didn't cue you up for this, but we're going to do it live.
Perfect. I love when you do that to me.
We've got the latest data from Black Book.
Yes.
Wholesale used car market update ties in nicely when you're talking about repossessions. Look at this, Dad. Another week
of declines.
Of declines in the wholesale used car auctions.
Yes. Look at trucks and SUVs. You know, they're up almost a third of a
point. Down.
Down almost a third of a point. You know, so trucks... You're starting to see on the wholesale side of things, not necessarily the retail side of things, but on the wholesale side of things, we're starting to see the amount of decline become a bit more substantial than what it had been. So now on the car side of things, it was, you know, slightly more than a tenth of a point.
Yep.
You know, but it's still... trending on the wholesale side in the right direction. Now, every time we report on this, what you have to realize is if you have a vehicle, the hope that the retail prices that are being asked for these pre-owned vehicles goes down, that's a hope. But conversely, the value offered for your trade-in, if you have one, will also be going down. So it impacts the consumer because the value of your trade is not worth as much today as perhaps it had been yesterday or the day before.
We've got a video coming out on Friday. I just popped the correct URL in the banner, carriage.com/sell. Do it just as an experiment.
Even. Yes.
See how the value of your vehicle has changed. This is the cash offers from dealers in your area. We did the video. We recorded it yesterday. It'll be out on Friday. There are some regions of this country, Denver, Colorado being one of them, where dealers are still paying a pretty penny.
Yes.
Now, I don't think it's going to go on for that much longer, Dad. We've got a couple of folks in the chat, used fast or learning fast, saying used car prices are definitely coming down. I've been following the prices. They are declining for sure. You look now, obviously, at the data from Black Book, it's showing that it goes down. We got Brandon here with us. That data is only showing sales, tons of no sales, real number is much lower.
Well, the percentage of vehicles at the auction that actually were sold was only 48%. Okay, so it's been stagnant. It's less than half of the vehicles that are being offered for sale at the auctions are actually being sold.
For the second week in a row, auction conversion rates were stable. Yeah, stable at 48%. Yes. With holiday mixed in and people now starting their summer vacations, we saw little change in sales rates over the past weeks. 2,500 and 3,500 series trucks, truck prices continue to drop slightly more this week, while the 1,500 series units are seeing relative stability. The car segment saw movement downward, but as much as the truck segment, as always, Black Book is here. Yeah, I'll scroll back up in a second so that we can look at the breakdown in segments of vehicles. But we are seeing the most significant downward pressure on used car prices so far this year. So far this year, because if you remember, for those of you who stick around with us, what happened during tax time in the spring? Used car prices, I can pull it back up on the chart. Used car prices went up like crazy. And now they are starting to revert to the mean.
New car prices on the wholesale side of things were going up like crazy in January and February, which was somewhat unexpected. How about that? That's a pretty nice way.
It's unexpected, but it was also it's the seasonality of spring selling season. So you do expect
Yes, but the amount of appreciation on the pre-owned side, January and February was much higher than what is normal for those months.
Absolutely.
Okay. The spike in pricing, wholesale pricing was higher, and not what anybody truly expected to see.
Yeah. What you're talking about is we can see it here on this chart. The gray line is 2023 wholesale weekly price index.
Yes.
It went up. Now it's flatlining. The expectation, again, it's not like it's plummeted down to earth.
No.
It hasn't. The expectation is that it's going to start to come down. And retail
now
prices.
Isn't the green line.
Is last year.
Was last year. So you
look
can
at that.
Yes. And last year, we started seeing a major decline in wholesale values.
Over the summer.
Started in the last week of June or the first week of July. But wholesale values also didn't, where we are seeing elevated wholesale prices today, they were lower last year.
Yep.
So the change when you compare the two is somewhat significant for that time frame.
Yeah, I hear you. Here you go from AJ. Love seeing AJ here with us. Just FYI for everyone, from what I'm seeing, Illinois, and Ohio seem to have the most aggressive price declines by dealerships. Their prices seem to be correcting quickly. It's important now. I'm telling you, it's at the end of the month right now.
It is.
And the end of the quarter and the end of the month next month.
Yes.
I think we'll do different, different shows where we really get into this. I think the best time to buy a car this year will be the end of December. That's what it is. It is what
yes.
it is, even on the new and used car side. I think end of June is going to be a really great time if you need to buy a vehicle. End of June is better than it would have been a couple weeks ago. End of June, I think it's going to be better than it will be in July. It's going to be that crunch to get numbers out. You're going to start to see some of those sweaty palms and cold feet. What's that? Cold feet.
We're gonna read between the tea leaves.
Yeah, and here you go from Igor. Zach, yeah. I'm seeing more cars at auctions actually being sold rather than dealers holding on their high prices and putting the cars on the phone call for if bids. So
yeah.
I would not be surprised if you start to see sales rates go up a little bit and wholesale prices go down because you need to move inventory.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we've got Luca asked a question just a moment ago. Where was it?
Luca, you just passed Luca. Oh, there.
Can you guys make a video showing how folks can sell their leased cars to dealers before the term is up? That would be super helpful. And this is what I love about our community. Justice here,
yeah,
one of the car coaches on the Car Edge team, gives the link right there. Dad, you've got an awesome guide about how to sell.
Look, your leased cars. Ask Luca and you shall receive.
And do you think, Dad, there are still folks that are going to have a lot of lease equity right now that they can take advantage of?
I think so, absolutely. The other thing is that you have to make sure that yours is a lease that you can sell. Because a lot of leases, they have taken away the opportunity for you as the consumer to buy out the lease at the end. Which means if you don't have the opportunity to buy it, then you don't have the opportunity to sell it.
Yep, exactly. All right, so there was another piece of information in the Black Book data that I wanted to pull up, which would be the breakdown of where we're seeing depreciation.
Yes.
Yesterday on the show, we talked about Quinn, one of our community members, who over the weekend I was helping negotiate and navigate the purchase of a 2013
yes.
Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van.
Yes.
What do you see, Dad, when you look at wholesale auction trends? And Quinn, I'm going to clip this and send it to you because you need to look at this data.
Yes, because full-size vans drop
1%
week over week. The largest drop of any segment in the truck segment.
So if I'm that dealer, if you yeah. weren't with us here yesterday, we were helping Quinn, one of our community members.
If you're that, if you're Quinn, you would take a picture of what you just had on that screen so that you can share that with the Elgin, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and say, you want to wait another week? You want to see how much further down it can go?
Let's put this to the test, Dad.
Yes.
Let's continue on here. So I'm going to CarEdge.com. Yes, we do have a 20% offer that ends at the end of the month, as well as $100.
That would be tomorrow night.
That would be tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to browse all cars near me.
You know, because I believe tomorrow is payday.
Tomorrow is payday.
Yeah.
I am excited about that.
Well, me too.
All right, Mercedes-Benz Sprinter.
Yes.
It was a
2013.
Oh, man, I don't know if that was the right one. These are not Mercedes-Benz Sprinters. All right, let me do this. We're going to go year.
Yeah, it's a 20, and it was the high roof or whatever.
Yeah. It was 2013.
Yeah.
And it was, let me try again, model. There's so many different ones.
Yeah.
All right.
Sprinter. Passenger fan.
There it is.
Yeah, because
this one right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the one that Quinn's looking to buy.
Yeah.
128 days on the market.
Yes.
And look at this. Look at this price history.
Yes. And brand new, by the way, the MSRP on a vehicle like that was somewhere around $45,000 to $50,000.
So if I'm this dealer, Dad,
yes.
Again, I and we know they traded, or we sense that they traded it in because the stock number ends in the letter A.
Yes.
I listed it back in March for $70,000. I'm down to $50,000. And at the auction, comparable vehicles are losing 1% of their value on the wholesale side per day.
No, per week.
Per week.
Week
per
over week. Week.
Per week. Excuse me. Thank you. I did not mean to say that. Per week.
Yeah, because none of them lose 365% a year. Yeah.
So if I'm Quinn, obviously I'm not paying this price.
No, that price is way high.
This dealer has pressure to move this unit.
Or they don't.
I don't see how that's possible.
Well,
you've taught me, Dad, every single look at this. This is a big van. It's taken up two parking spots on their damn lot.
Yes.
It's got tens of thousands of their dollars in capital tied up in it.
Yes.
And it is losing 1% of its value at the wholesale auction per week.
Yes.
Why, if I'm a consumer, am I not going in there and I'm saying, hey, I know you want $50,000 for this. I'll give you 35. I'm still overpaying for it, but you can go put that capital. You can work that capital back in your business.
Yes. I mean, you could.
Because you just show them the Black Book report.
You know, if you had access to MMR, you could see what a comparable van like that is bringing.
One of the reasons to sign up for Car Edge Coach is I can't necessarily say you get MMR because that's like a trademark thing, but you get access to auction data. So
yes.
come join Car Edge, work with our coaches, and we can get you auction data, which may or may not have been what I provided to Quinn, which is very helpful to then take that back. It's information parity. We're on the same page.
I like that.
It's the truth, man.
Yeah. What page are you on? I'm on page like 131 of the book I'm reading.
I was curious, though. Yes. What do you think these Sprinter vans currently, what do you think their MSRPs are for new ones?
$55,000 maybe.
Let's see. Mercedes-Benz. Give me a second, gang. I'm very curious because if a used one,
they starting at 48.7. Yeah, high roof. So 61.5 they start at.
170 wheelbase. Oh, yeah. Wait a second.
That was 170. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a new one. It
starts at 61.5.
You'll probably 62. Yeah, grand. You'll probably be out the door at 70 grand when everything's said and done. Yeah. Or you can buy the used one from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
No way, man. No way. And where we started the show off with is that repo rates are not actually as high as they could be.
Yes.
So
delinquencies are probably higher than we're being told. Repossession rates aren't as high as they should be or the lending institutions would like it to be.
We call it auction data. Auction data. We have access to auction data. Ready, Dad?
Yeah.
We have access to.
I've heard we have access to auction data. That's what I understand. You know, and you know, and one of the good things about our dear friends at Black Book is, well, they get about 95% of all wholesale transactions, including not only Manheim auctions, but Odessa auctions and all the other auctions out there. So the auction data that we get from Black Book.
You're missing the point.
I got the point.
Well, you're making it confusing.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have access to auction data.
But not just Black Book auction data.
Oh, no. We have access to auction data. I don't know if you've heard, folks. There's a rumor that we have access to auction data. And at this point, it's a pretty strong rumor.
It's a fairly strong
rumor.
All right, Pops, I don't have anything else for today's show. You got anything else you want to queue up? You good?
What?
Ray, what are you digging up under your left sleeve?
Nothing.
Just muscles.
I figure if I keep my hand there under my sleeve, I can't be doing all this stuff like I normally do, or I can't be twiddling my fingers like I. So the attempt was to maintain less movement by strapping one arm to the other.
All right, we will be back.
Yeah, nice tomorrow. Watch, Ray. Yeah.
You do have a good looking watch.
I do.
Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow.
I do believe.
Yes. Brandon did take me like a big brother to the auction. Thank you for that, Brandon. I'd love to go back with you soon. All right. Folks want to see the watch cam. Let's do it, Pops. Take it off. I'll put it up in the camera.
And then
join Ray Farzad. Did you know you were on with Farzad today?
I did. Thank God, because my throat's killing me.
I'm sorry, Dad. Join my dad and Farzad and Justice, who we love. Over on the Car Edge Electric Channel. This is a heavy watch.
It's a weapon. It's a regiment, but it's a weapon.
All right, you can talk about it while.
Yeah, there we go. It's a BAW, a big ass watch, I think it's supposed to be like a military style watch. Although I think any watch that heavy would slow anyone down that has to wear it. But it's a lovely automatic watch, and I believe it's waterproof to 1,000 feet. The good news is I'm never going to find out unless I just throw the son of a bitch overboard.
Dad, you can't curse.
You can't say son of a. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This was one of the ones that I got from the Watch Gang when they were running a sale. Where it's normally $399 a watch, they were 50% off. So it was $199. And from what I understand, it's about a $600 or $700 watch.
He's a deal finder, folks. He's a deal finder.
Deal finder.
All right. So again, for those of you who are unfamiliar, Car Edge Electric, the show goes on in about 15 minutes. It is this one right here.
I guess I'll be there.
Unbelievable Tesla insights.
Yes.
With Farzad. You won't believe what's coming. I'm going to give that a like. I'll see you guys there in 15 minutes, Pops. Enjoy your afternoon. Get some rest. drink some tea, a little bit of honey.
I have to see if I can, if I have any.
And what do we think BFAW stands for?
Big
face, big F word, a F word.
Yeah. The BFAW. Yeah.
All right, that's, we're good.
I did have a bab of oatmeal this morning. A big ass
bowl. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Yeah,
we will. At what time?
Noon Eastern.
Now, Midnight in Manila, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to be the new program coming from the Car Edge real soon. Midnight in Manila. I can't wait. I'm really looking.
What do you think your neighbors think of this? All the noise you make and all the lights and cameras we bring in. Like, they must think. Never mind. All right. Good night, everyone. Good night. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Nope. I'm hitting the button.
Yeah. I think you should before we get.